Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Jesser. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker, and we have a four-way today. We're talking Jets. And so we have not one, not two, but three Jets fans, Harold Rosengarten and Jared Jerome. So Harold, Jared, welcome back to the podcast. Harold, we'll start with you because you're usually the more optimistic of our Jets fans. Give me an over or an under. The Jets over under is 7. Where are we going?
I think it's right around there. Their schedule is super difficult. I mean, it's weird because who knows what's going to happen. In terms of
who's getting a phone call?
I'm getting a phone call. Who knows what's going to happen in terms of
who has a phone that rings? Oh my God!
What year is it?
I have a house phone. Look at me.
Wow.
I'm an adult.
It was the Johnsons offering him a job based on. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the Johnsons, the Jets Johnsons. But okay, yeah. So you think that they're going to win about 7 games. In our power rankings from 32 to 1, the cumulative ranking for the Jets is 28. But Keith Wheels Wienerker has them 32, dead last. Worst team in the NFL, worse than Washington, worse than Carolina. So we know where Akiva stands. Jared, where do you stand? Between Harold and Akiva somewhere?
You know, it's interesting. Like with the Jets, first of all, compared to most Jets fans and also compared to how I am with most of my other teams, I'm usually more bullish on them. I don't know, I kind of talk myself into this position group will be better than I expect. You know, this guy's going to have a breakout year.
How has that worked
but
out
this
for you?
Year, I'm really having my – yeah, well, it doesn't work out well, and maybe I'm learning from it because I'm really negative on them this year. I mean, the offensive – we'll get through it, I'm sure, but the offensive, you know, whatever. We'll get through it. But, yeah, I'm negative. I'm way below 7. Not way below, but definitely below 7 if that's their over-under.
And Akiva, why is this literally the worst team in football?
I don't know. I just think that there are very few good players on it. There are two best players. One they just traded, which I support the trade, but it certainly doesn't help the 2020 version of this team. And then their new best player, C.J. Mosley, who has an obscene contract for an inside linebacker and played essentially three quarters of one game of last season, where in fact he was the best player on the field, but then he basically didn't play. He opted out, which unfairly now makes his contract toll like into his 80s. Like, it's not like the Jets save any money. They just have to pay an older linebacker.
Pushes the money back to when he's less useful.
So then, like, who are the best players on this team, Alex? Like, Sam Darnold, like, is the 28th best quarterback in the league last year or 27th, and, like, he's the best.
You've been high on him.
I mean, I like him, but I'm just saying, like, statistically last year he was a bottom 10 quarterback.
I mean,
I can't even answer that question, who the best player on this team is.
Me neither. I was thinking about that today. I think had they kept – and I also think – and Alex, you must love for the Jets the Adams trade because you were the one saying safety's not worth anything.
Yeah. Great so return. If you're not winning the Super Bowl this year, what do you need him for?
Right. So having said that, had they kept Adams and Mosley, who actually in his only game of the year that Akiva was referring to, won like defensive player of the week – in week one, and the Jets were dominating the Bills in Buffalo, and then he sat out the second half, and they got blown away, never to be seen from again. I think if they had those two guys, along with the MVP of the team last year, who was Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, I think the defense would probably be a top 12 defense, in my opinion. I don't know what it was by the numbers last year, but he made magic happen with a bunch of no-names, and I think the defense would have been really good. But as Keith just said, they lost their two best defensive players, their clear two best defensive players. They have no stars on offense, probably no stars on defense. If you go by just looking at talent, which, you know, I guess is the only fair way to do it, unless you want to go by coach, who's even worse than that, Adam Gase. I don't know where you get Harold. I don't know where you're coming to 7-plus wins. So convince us.
So my argument begins and ends with the hope that the offensive line is going to be good. Part of it is Mekhi Becton, who I'm hoping is going to be very good. He's a huge person. I saw a crazy picture yesterday of him and Jamison Crowder, and it was insane. It was like the Derrick Henry photograph from a couple of years back.
The Aaron Judge Altuve picture at second base that they always show.
Yeah, very similar. But I'm hoping – listen, the offensive line last year was atrocious, which hurt, obviously, Darnold, and it hurt Le'Veon Bell. My hope is if they could get to an average offensive line, and they did invest a lot in that offensive line between Becton – and Connor McGovern, who are the two big names, I think, and maybe even Fant going over to the right side. Hopefully, Bell can be a little more than a little better than last year. Definitely be a safety net for Darnold. I wish they had some better receivers. I wish Denzel Mims was on the field a little bit so far in training camp, which he hasn't been. But I do think between the offensive line and then flipping it over to the other side, the defensive line also I think is going to be a bright spot between Henry Anderson and McClendon and maybe Quinnen Williams. I'm sure Jared hates Quinnen Williams, but I also think he's going to have a good season. And then even, you know, they lost Mosley, but they have Avery Williamson coming back, who was good for them 2 years ago. And he's not obviously what Mosley was, but he can pick up a little bit of a slack. And you have Greg Williams. Like you said, he did work magic last year defensively, so I'm hoping he can do the same this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense will be solid because, like you said, they lost Mosley all year at last year anyway and still had a great run defense. Somehow through all these lean years, they've managed to have a good run defense every single year. I don't know. It doesn't do much, but that's the one strength they've had. I think that will still be strong. I think the secondary, well, you lose Adams, but, I mean, the cornerback group is probably going to be improved, although maybe marginally. But well,
By the way, I should add that I think May is clearly the best player on the team now, Marcus.
Yeah.
May. Well, you're hearing that's what, you know, the beat writers have said he's the best player in camp. So I think he's probably our answer.
Since
you want to say Le'Veon Bell, fine. But by the way, the beat writers are saying that Frank Gore has been out playing Le'Veon Bell in camp. Bell sat out today and complained on Twitter, which is not a good sign. There's a 50% chance by the time this podcast released, he's not even on the team anymore. and Pirine, Michael Pirine, their rookies actually look pretty good. So Bell's basically been their third best back in camp.
Keith, since you just mentioned that Marcus May hasn't made a Pro Bowl, I think it's a good time to fit this into the listeners who probably don't know this stat, although you guys do, about the Jets' ridiculous thing about their second-round picks, right?
Yes.
So I did this research like 3 years ago. The last time the Jets drafted a player in the second round to make a Pro Bowl either for the Jets or for any other team in his entire career was 1979. It was Mark Gastineau. Okay, that sounds insane. It's been 40 years since they've drafted a guy in the second round to make a Pro Bowl. But what about the other teams? Maybe that's not as crazy as you think. Mm-hmm. No other team has had a streak going back past 1998. Okay. So they are 20 extra years of second round picks beyond any other team in the league of not having a guy make the Pro Bowl draft in the second round. And the average number of Pro Bowl players selected by a team going back to 1980. So since the Jets have drafted a guy to make a Pro Bowl in the second round is about 10.
Wow.
So
they have also only had two guys make year five on the team from the second round. And one of them was Kellen Clemens, who was never good.
This guy coming in with stats and facts. Very impressive.
The one thing I'll say about that stat, Jared, though, is David Harris, second rounder.
Yeah, he was.
Could have been a Pro Bowl in some years.
He could have been a Pro. That's true.
So you have a borderline Pro Bowl. The point is, it's better. I mean, it's real to say he hasn't made a Pro Bowl. He's a good player. I didn't say they didn't draft any good players in the second round, solid players, but I guess it was the curse of Mike Nugent drafting a kicker in the second round, even though that was already like 33 years into the streak, but nonetheless. But
yeah, Alex.
Alex Van Dyke, I would say.
Yeah. He fumbled in the AFC Championship game. So Quinnen Williams, Alex, last year, defensive lineman, the Jets picked third overall, and he had a miserable year. He was maybe our sixth best defensive lineman. I mean, literally, like the street that we had a guy where UDFA outplay him. In Kyle Phillips, like everyone outplayed him. I think Bronson Kofasi, who they converted to tight end, was better than Quinnen Williams last year. Like he was useless.
They kept using the excuse that he's garnering double teams and freeing things. Yeah. Like you've heard for the last.
It's a mystery injury afterwards.
Like the first, the last nine top five.
So are you saying that Becton is cursed? Is that the point of this rant?
No, the point is that they had the third overall pick last year and may not have even gotten an NFL starter out of it.
I don't think so. As you've heard probably too, that there's been good. He's changed again. You always hear crap like this, but he's changed his body. He's doing well in training camp. So I think there's a chance he could still be a good player. I'll have to see it. You know, like Leonard Williams and Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson and Copels before him, all top 10 first round picks. Who were busts essentially in terms of where they were drafted. So yeah. So with Harold's point about me not liking him, I want to like him. He's just got to put up numbers. Look, there are interior defensive players that put up numbers. We all know that. Always the Jets guys, the people who make excuses for them say, oh, they're taking the double teams, they're taking pressure away from other guys. Well, who exactly are they making have a lot of sacks? Jordan Jenkins. So nobody has a double digit sacks probably since John Abraham on the team anyway. So, and that was 20 years ago. So if he's freeing up other guys, it's not doing much. So he has to have a huge year this year. There's no question about it. And I think that's one positive. And to Harold's point, the key to the whole team is offensive line. The last GM, Mike Maccagnan, didn't pay a second of attention to the offensive line. They did their rookie quarterback, who I think should be the main focus of this podcast. Well, the rookie at the time, and now in his third year.
Yeah, Alex, give us some Darnold stats when Jared's done talking, please.
That it's all about, you draft a young guy, they draft him third overall. They actually traded up to get second round picks, ironically, to get him third overall. And you have to support that guy first with an offensive line and secondarily with weapons, as we all know. And they literally have not done that whatsoever. The offensive line has been putrid in his 2 years. I believe it was 31st ranked last year ahead of the Miami Dolphins only. I'm not sure about that, but I know it was one of the worst. And Harold's right. They made move. Now, Joe Douglas is the new GM. He was an offensive lineman in his, I think, in his college career. But be that as it may, he has been looking to bolster the offensive line. They spent the first pick, 11th overall, in Mekhi Becton, 6'7", 370-pound left tackle. They added a decent center in Connor McGovern, as mentioned. So he drafted another guy in the fourth round who may or may not start. So they're paying attention to it, but they're rebuilding now. The unfortunate thing is they haven't made the playoffs in 9 years and they're first in their beginning stages of a rebuild. So I have confidence for the future, but you know, I don't think the offensive line is going to be good this year. They lost their best offensive lineman, Beecham, from last year. I hope that Becton is better than him long-term, but is he going to be better than him as a rookie? He's a raw. The thing on him between the four big tackles in the draft in 2020 was that Becton kind of had the highest upside, arguably, with his incredible size and athleticism, but also maybe the lowest floor with his, you know, lack of experience or whatnot, or just being big and being able to control his body. So I don't know that he's going to be great as a rookie. So I just think Sam Darnold's going to have another bad year, and or at least another year similar to, or maybe a little bit better than previous years. And I don't think it's his fault. I have a lot to – I'm very, very positive on him. I'll let you guys talk about him. I know it's fair to rank him 25th or 28th or whatever based on the numbers, but I've been talking too long. Let somebody else go. But I have
– Alex, give us Darnold stats, please, if you have any.
I mean, so in his rookie year, I had him as the 31st out of 32 starters. His CQBR plus was 85, so about 15% below the league average quarterback that year. Last year, I have him as 26th best quarterback, and he had a winning record. Let's not forget that. 7-6 as a starter last year, and his CQBR plus was 90. So he was only 10% worse than the average quarterback. So at that rate, by 2021, he will be an average NFL quarterback by year four.
And again, with garbage. I mean, you know, I'm a big proponent, I think most people are, of like, you can't judge quarterbacks in a vacuum. You can't judge them by their stats. You have to look what's around them. Dak Prescott has, you know, an incredible offensive line, all these weapons. How do you compare? He just sits in the pocket all day. Guys are running free. I mean, obviously Darnold would hit those guys too. You know, almost anybody would, you know? So how do you compare these guys? I mean, like, what's his name? Jimmy G. I wasn't impressed with Jimmy G at all last year. I mean, he's fairly accurate and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes and whatever. But you put any NFL quarterback, certainly, you know, a top five pick kind of guy, in a situation like that, he's going to put up big numbers. And you put any guy who's running out of the pocket and doesn't have any receivers getting separation, unless they're a unique, unbelievable talent like a Pat Mahomes, they're not going to have good stats, certainly not as a 20 and 21-year-old. So, you know, I think an interesting game to play is like, who would you take over like Sam Darnold? Us as Jets fans, and obviously Alex would have the most, I guess, unbiased view, but also if you don't watch it, you don't see it. So it's more of a, like a, you know, just watching the skills and kind of assessing him that way.
The guys who watch the tape like Darnold way better than stats people.
Yeah, he's, you know, you see some plays he makes and he's like a tease. You know, there are some plays he makes that you don't think any other quarterback in the NFL can make. And the other time, the next snap, he'll throw a stupid interception. He's very frustrating that way. Part of it is obviously his weapons. Part of it is him trying to mature. And he needs, you know, consistent weapons is also part of it. You know, his wide receivers have been changing every year. He now has Bershad Perryman. Who knows what he'll be like. You know, one of his favorite weapons his rookie year was Herndon. He was out all of last year. He seems to like throwing the ball to him. So maybe when he's back this year, hopefully, he'll have a good rapport with him. But there's a lack of consistency with him. He's also, in terms of his offense itself, you know, his first year, Todd Bowles was the coach. Then he got Adam Gase. It was a different offensive system from year one to year two. Now it's a second year in the same offensive system. I'm hoping and I'm thinking that will help him going forward as well.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is it's Adam Gase's system. That's the problem. So that means you have an incredible first drive that was pre-scripted, and then once the defense adjusts and see what you're doing, you don't get a first down for the rest of the game. So that's basically been the pattern. But, you know, but no, but I agree. No, it's good that he has some. But how can they not re-sign Robbie Anderson? He barely got any money, right? So they got Breshad Perriman for, what, I think, $6 million, and Robbie Anderson got, like, $8 million.
Yeah, they could have paid both, realistically.
Yeah.
Perriman was excellent the last few weeks of the year, one of the best receivers in the league at towards the end of the season. But he's also never had more than 35 catches in a season. He's a pure deep threat. Jamison Crowder is a possession receiver. He was fine. And then Denzel Mims, who really we needed to start. You know, we play tons of three-receiver sets, so, you know, your third receiver is a starter. Denzel Mims was supposed to start. He has not stepped on the field yet, which means at this point he's almost certainly not going to start. And there's no depth after that. You're talking about Chris Hogan, who's, you know, been on Hard Knocks seven times, but he's halfway out of the league. And then guys you've literally, you know, Braxton Berrios from the Patriots, like guys you've literally never heard of.
I'll tell you who I'm excited about, and you're going to think I'm crazy. But I've been reading good things that I actually followed him in college a little bit. Lawrence Cager.
Yeah, but I
was excited when they picked him up as an undrafted free agent. He looked good in Georgia. And I really think from what I've been reading in the beat reporters that he's looked good in camp. He did have a little bit of an injury the last day or two, but I have a good feeling about him. I don't know why. I just feel like Lawrence Cager is going to be a name that, you know, maybe in the milieu of, you know, Jericho Cotchery, some guy who comes out of nowhere. I mean, Jericho Cotchery.
He's big and slow, I think.
Yeah, he's a 6'5". Basically, he's a tight end. He's 6'5". The beat writers have been high on him because he's making a lot of jump ball plays in the, you know, in the end zone and making catches. But he's painfully slow, supposedly. He can't get out of his breaks. I don't know. I haven't seen him. I don't know him at Georgia much. But maybe.
Listen, I'm all about 6'5", right, rookies from Georgia, though. So Anthony Edwards, baby. If I put the over-under of career NFL receptions, NFL only, not NFL Europe, not CFL.
For Lawrence Cager?
Yeah, at 25. Is anybody?
Why? Well, you should know. You have to make it a half. Like, if he doesn't make the team this year.
24 and a half. Is anyone?
No, you have to make it literally
0.5. Will you take the under on 0.5?
With the way the Jets' receiving core looks right now, definitely.
He might start by week three. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes. The fact that we're talking about an undrafted free agent rookie.
No, this is a pathetic roster.
Hold on a second.
I do think Chris Hearns. Yeah.
Here's my question. Will Sam Darnold be the starting quarterback of the next Jets playoff game?
Ooh, good question.
That is a good question.
Thank you.
I think so.
Lakiva?
I think Douglas is working on the line. I think next year they're going to bolster the position, the skills position, and he's going to be a good player. I think once he gets a good team, he's going to be a good player.
So you think they're making the playoffs in 2021?
And I don't think they're ready. I can't say that now, but I think it's a possibility, a distinct possibility. I don't think it's outrageous.
Akiva, do you think Darnold will be their starting quarterback the next time they're in the playoffs?
I'll say yes. First of all, it's a little easier to make the playoffs now with the seventh spot. I'm going to say yes.
And Harold, obviously, you say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm actually not as obviously a yes on this one as you would think I would be, but I do think it's closer to yes. But
I mean, the last
if they have a bad season this year and they're dropping five. You know, between Trevor Lawrence and Fields out of Ohio State, and we're really looking ahead. But you know, do they think about drafting a quarterback? I don't know. Maybe if they're in the top two picks, maybe. I don't know.
I guess it depends. Yeah, I mean, if they have a 3-13 season, probably Darnold wasn't so great. And then you look into. But I think outside of that, again, we'll see. I really hope not, because I'm really high on Darnold, and I think he's going to be a good player when he's given the opportunity. You know, he's always going to be the kind of guy that frustrates you. He's kind of like in the Favre mold of like a gunslinger. He makes risky throws. So I don't think he's ever going to be like a super low interception guy. But I think he's going to be very productive. He's able to make all the throws and make great plays on broken plays and things like that. And he's much better than his stats have said. And like I said, I mean, like, you know, who knows? Maybe David Carr would have been a star if he didn't get sacked 70 times in the first 2 years. You know what I mean? So, again, that's on him. So if it never happens, you don't get credit for it. But from just looking at him and watching him all the way back to college, I've always been really high on him. So I really hope it works out. Not just because I'm a Jets fan, because I think he's legit. And if it doesn't work out, it's because they screw up in other areas, in my opinion, as opposed to him. Boy, Denzel Mims, I'm also very high on. After the draft, I like looked at like about 15 different publications who like rank, you know, they rank each position in the draft, you know, like, and obviously we had that deep receiving draft. You guys have been talking about it throughout this series going. Every team seems to have one of the guys drafted in the first two rounds. whether Justin Jefferson on the Vikings, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think he was Mims was drafted the 13th or the 15th overall receiver in the draft, 59 overall. Great trade down by the Jets to still get him and pick up a couple extra picks from the Patriots. But in the average of pre-draft rankings of receivers, he was like 6 point something. So for what, for whatever that means, I think he really, I mean, a lot of people had him in the back end of the first round, and he ended up going at the back of the second round. So I love his size and strength and all and whatever. So I'm not a football draft expert, but I'm really high on him. You just got to get on the field. He's got this damn hamstring injury, but we'll see. So, I mean, there are some possibilities that can work, and I think the defense will be okay. But if you just look at it from a roster perspective, Keeve's always very negative on the Jets, so that's why I put him 32. They're not going to be the worst team for sure. They did win 7 games last year. It was an easy schedule, but it was also they didn't have Darnold for 3 games. The front half of the schedule was really hard, and they won something like what? I mean, what were they, like 1-6, and then they finished 7-9? So what is that, like 6-3 in the last? So that's not the worst team in the NFL. You know what I mean? That's not the worst team in the NFL. That's not fair. They're not really worse than last year. I don't know how you make that argument. So I mean, other than Adams, I guess they're best players, so that's a big deal. But still, I mean, and as Harold said, May's, well, one of you said, May's really been stepping up. So, you know, I think the schedule's tougher this year, but you can't call them the 32nd team in the league. That's not fair, I don't think. Well, what was the composite ranking?
Overall, 28. Our listeners cumulatively have them at 27. No listener has them higher than 21. Everybody's between 21 and 31. And, the listener's average is 27. Keeve is at 32, and I'm at 26. So I'm sort of right in the middle there also. By the way, I'm looking at the Jets' depth chart.
I think that's fair.
I'm looking at the Jets' depth chart, and QB2, it says Flacco, Joe Pup. And for a split second, I said, wait a second, Joe Pup Flacco? His middle name is Pup? And then I realized he's on the PUP list, but I would have really enjoyed that.
Their backup will probably end up being James Morgan because Flacco's injured going to the fourth round.
Here's my question. I think I was a little bit on, you know, wrong on this one also, if it turns out that Donald is not the answer, long-term answer for the Jets at QB, because I liked him more, definitely more than Baker Mayfield. I was down on Baker Mayfield. The three quarterbacks that I liked in that draft were, I thought Darnold should have gone number one. And then I liked, unfortunately, Josh Rosen, who has not worked out so well. But fortunately, I also did like Lamar Jackson a lot. So I'm batting, I guess, 1-3. I'm gonna list some other teams' quarterback situations, and you're going to tell me, would you rather be the Jets with Darnold and Morgan and Joey Pup, or would you rather be the other team?
Well, I'm gonna look like a maniac.
Okay. We're going to start with one.
We'll say the Chiefs first.
We're going to start with one that a year ago I absolutely would have said the Jets. That I absolutely would have said the Jets. Now, I'm not sure you can say that, really.
Talking about Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills, yeah.
Yeah. We'll still take – Allen sucks. We'll still take Darnold, even though we're probably wrong.
I think Allen is a little overrated because of fantasy. He's a great fantasy quarterback. He gets a lot of yards running. But if you look at him on a game-to-game basis as what he does for your team, I prefer Darnold personally.
Okay.
Yeah, Keith hates Josh Allen. I think he's better than Keith thinks, but definitely Darnold.
Definitely. All right. So unanimous. And by the way, I think Bills fans would be unanimous the other way. Here's a controversial one, but another interesting one. Stay in your division. Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and Brian Hoyer, or Darnold, and whoever else they have behind him. David Fales. Yeah. No, but I like to call him Fales.
I still go with Darnold just because I don't know if Cam is healthy. If Cam's healthy, the answer is the Patriots. But
Alex is cackling in the background because he's going to make us all look like fools now because we're going to pick Darnold over everybody. He's setting us up, guys.
But is that it? So consensus, you guys would rather have Darnold than the Patriots quarterbacks?
Yeah. Long term, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Long term, short term, however you want to answer this. All right. So then let's go to a guy I just mentioned, Josh Rosen, third string behind Tua and Ryan Fitzmagic in Miami.
Well, just pick the best guy on, you know, you don't have to go through their third.
Well, no, because I think for the Dolphins, it's important because Tua.
Right, the Dolphins have
Darnold and Tua in week one, but yeah.
Yeah. So
quarterback
fair.
Room, would you rather?
I'll take Darnold because of Tua's injury situation.
All right, so you're the best quarterback in the division. What are you complaining about?
maybe the whole conference.
Listen, that's not, you're laughing. That's not crazy to rather Darnold and Tua. I mean, that's not a crazy thing to say. Wait,
I mean, obviously, Tua's ceiling is like a little higher just because we haven't seen him play. I think Dolphins fans are not like as psyched on Tua as I would have thought.
Ask some more, like, you know, some more.
I mean, I did not think that it was going to be a 9-0 vote in the AFC East in favor of Darnold. So, I mean, should I say
that? The truth is, the big question in New York is Darnold versus Daniel Jones. And I also don't think that's much of a contest, but Giants fans will argue with you on that tooth and nail.
Yeah, I think I'm on the Darnold side on that one, but and I assume all of you are as well. Right.
I think Daniel Jones looks pretty good too, but I have to be loyal to Darnold on that.
All right, let's look at some of the other young guys then. Would you rather be Joe Burrow on the Bengals or would you rather have Darnold on the Jets?
Burrow for sure. That's crazy.
Yeah, Burrow. I mean,
I think so, but I don't know. You guys are the ones who are the Darnold.
You know, why is it? I'm not going to say I'm not agreeing with you, but why is it so obvious? Burrow wasn't even going to be drafted before.
All right, Jared, we're going to get roasted.
He had arguably the greatest ever for a college quarterback. That's why.
Yeah, so did Ryan Leaf. Like, I'm saying we can't say a rookie. You can't say it's a rookie is unquestionably someone you'd rather have. You can't say that.
If Darnold,
you, Mister, have to prove it. Alex,
if Darnold was in the draft that just occurred, there is a zero. There is no team out of 32 that would have taken him ahead of Joe Burrow.
Even though Joe Burrow is older than him this day. Burrow is older than him right now. Darnold going into his third season.
If the Jets had the opportunity to get the number 3 pick in the draft, if they threw Darnold back in the pool, by the way, the Jets would have taken that in a second, I think. Because he probably still would have been on the board at 3.
You're probably right. I'm just saying I don't think it's crazy.
You guys would not rather have Darnold than Baker Mayfield, right?
Baker's season last year was not great. His first season, he looked good.
Yes.
Last year, he looked great. You also have to remember, he has, like, we've been talking about this whole time. He has weapons. He has two top NFL receivers to work with, along with an excellent running back duo.
Yeah.
And look what Darnold has.
Listen, you can make the argument. Baker Mayfield had a completion percentage under 60 last year, which is not acceptable in today's NFL. Baker Mayfield was ranked lower by CQBR and also a number of other stats than Darnold was last year.
I was just going to ask that. And so I thought that was true. Right. So Darnold.
Wait, so all three of you are taking Darnold over Baker?
I am.
Keevy?
It's close. I'd go Baker, but it's close.
All right.
Mr. Negativity.
I don't know. What about the Colts? Would you rather have Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers, or would you rather have Sam Darnold?
Phillip Rivers is going to be retired by
– I guess if you're January. The Jets, you don't need a quarterback this year, so probably the answer is Darnold there. So that's fair. What about
– Darnold over Brissett.
Would you rather have Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges?
It's an interesting question just because Roethlisberger at this point is really year to year for the rest of his career, as he's even said.
Yeah.
But are the Jets making the playoffs with Roethlisberger?
Also, Rivers was better than Roethlisberger last year, obviously. Rivers was better than Roethlisberger in 2018. Rivers was better than Roethlisberger in 2017. So it's sort of funny that we're like, well, Rivers is done, but Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger's last season, he was better than Rivers was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Jets, honestly, probably the right answer is you'd rather have Darnold because, again, you're looking to the future. All right, what about Gardner Minshew?
Are we going over 32 minutes for this episode, Alex?
We're going 96.
I'm trying to find a team whose quarterback situation is better than the Jets. I haven't found one yet.
I guess there are none. It's crazy.
Well, it's fewer than you thought, isn't it?
Yes or no. Would you rather – or just give me a name. Darnold or Minshew? Who would you rather have?
Darnold.
All right, Drew Lock or Darnold?
Darnold.
Derek Carr or Darnold?
Oh, come on. It's year three of phase three for Derek Carr.
All right, Justin Herbert, I assume you're all going to say Darnold.
Darnold.
Yeah.
Come on, Keith. Chime in. Don't be scared of the listeners.
No, I agree. No, I'm with you guys. I'll just...
Kirk Cousins or Darnold?
I'd say Cousins. But obviously, Darnold has a higher ceiling, like in theory. I mean,
you have to take Cousins, but yeah, you have to take Cousins.
Yeah. Teddy B.
Darnold.
Darnold.
Boy,
don't know if Teddy B can walk.
Kyler Murray. Hold on, you know, Kyler Murray.
The truth is.
No, definitely Kyler over Darnold.
All right, what about Jared Goff?
Kyler Murray.
Ooh.
They're pretty similar, honestly. I'd go Goff.
Yeah, you got to go Goff, I think, there. I mean, 2 years ago, he was great.
Although, I think if you gave Darnold to Sean McVay, he'd probably be looking better.
Seriously.
Now. Goff to Adam Gase, he'd maybe be a backup in the XFL. So, who knows?
He'd pee in his pants. Are you kidding? Remember when Goff, as a rookie, when he didn't have the system and everything like that? He's a pure product of the system. Not pure product of the system, but I'm very comfortable saying Darnold over Goff. I have no problem with that.
Mm, wow. So you guys have a top 10 quarterback. I don't know what you're complaining about.
It doesn't mean he's better than these guys. It means I would rather have him going forward than these guys.
No, I understand what it means. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We might have to go over 32 minutes. We're going to play the schedule game. But Keevy mentioned Adam Gase. So we talked about the Jets over-under at 7. I want to ask a different question. What is the Adam Gase over-under? How many wins does Adam Gase need this year to guarantee himself a year 3?
Keeve's good at this. Keeve, you take this.
I'd say if they go 7-9, they would have topped their over-under. I think he gets fired, though.
Really?
Hold on a second. Yeah. So then you're saying that Gase has no chance of having a year 3?
Well, yeah, I don't think it's a – they went 7-9 last year. I don't know why they can't go 8-8.
Why? Because you have them as the 32nd ranked team in the league. So.
Yeah, but that just means they have no upside.
Everybody's going to be 500 this year. It's amazing. It's like
Steve, what are you talking about?
Everyone has a 20% chance of making the playoffs, all 32 teams.
Okay.
Or 15%.
No, I mean, if I don't agree with that. If he goes 7-9 or 8-8, I don't see how he's fired. I mean, we're talking about him having – like I said,
all right, so Keeve set the over-under at 7.5. He has to go 500 to not get fired. Harold, what are you going to put it at?
So my concern is his relationship with Joe Douglas, because everyone seems to say they're close, and I don't know what it will take for Joe Douglas to fire Gase, who seemingly got Joe Douglas's job. Right. I think 7-9, he's fine for sure. If he even a 6-10 where they look good because they do have a hard schedule, I think he could be okay. 5-11 or below, I think he gets the boot.
So 5.5 for you is when they win with game 6, Gase celebrates because he has a job.
Not guaranteed, but I think he has a shot, at least a shot. Usually, if you're 6-10, year 2 after a 7-9.
All right, so you're going to say the over under 6 because 6 is a push. He might get fired.
It's also
not
tricky because the ownership situation is probably going to change because Woody Johnson, for many reasons, is hopefully going to be out as the ambassador of the UK. One, even if Trump won another term, usually you don't just stay in a job like that for 8 years, so I assume he'd come home too.